Well, welcome to Gospel Nobodies. My name is David Pinckney, and it's my privilege to work with Acts 29's Churches in Hard Places and our rural initiative to promote rural planting in forgotten, obscure, small, isolated places like Budrio, Italy. And so today our guest is Stefano Mariotti. Did I pronounce that correct?
Well, closer, yeah. Close enough.
How is it correct?
So my name should be Stefano. It's kind of stressed the first. I know Stefano sounds more Italian for English-speaking people, but it's Stefano.
So, Stefano, okay. Yeah. Well, Stefano, I've been pronouncing it wrong all along. You can like to correct me, except when we're live. Anyway, Gospel Nobodies is our intention to provide a live format on Facebook, which does get recorded, and the recordings are available on Acts 29 Rural's Facebook, but to talk with and learn from rural church planters from around the world. We're convinced that while God calls many of us to obscurity and to serve in secret in an unknown places that no one else knows about, that God is still doing incredible work there. And so this provides an opportunity for us to learn about what God is doing in these isolated places and to learn from those who are doing it. And I am so encouraged. I'm not even going to pronounce it correctly now. Stefano. Stefano, perfect. There we go. Yeah, I'm so encouraged to learn from Stefano today. I got to spend some time with him a couple of weeks ago, and I'm just excited about the opportunity for you to meet Stefano. His wife, Jennifer, planted in English, we would say church in the square. In Italian, it sounds like cheese pizza. how do you pronounce it?
It's Chiesa La Piazza.
La Piazza. So anyway, this is a real privilege. So thank you for joining us, brother. And
privilege.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us on your journey and how you, how Jesus found you, how you became a Christian.
So I'm quite unusual as Italian because I grew up in a Christian family. So both my parents were Christians. And actually the first generation of Christians in my family was my great grandmother. And she became a Christian after the Second World War with an evangelistic tent from OM. And then she reached out to my father. And so, yes, I grew up in a Christian family, which is very unusual in Italy. So all my experience with Roman Catholicism is actually secondhand. And really, I learned and studied Roman Catholic doctrine when I was at theological college in the UK.
Yeah, so when we think of Italy and we think of the church, we obviously think of the Roman Catholic Church. And so you being a third generation Christian is rather an unusual story, correct?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So you went to study at a school in England?
Yes, because at that moment I was part in a very good Reformed Brethren Church in Italy. And the eldership in the time was really visionary. So they really thought to encourage young men to study theology. So I did some training in Italy in what now is called IFED, is a small theological college in Padua, where Leonardo de Chirico is one of the teachers. And then I got really passionate for God's word and also for studying deeper in theology. So then I went in the UK, in Wales, in what is now called the Union School of Theology, where I met my wife. She's English. So that was a second bonus of being in a theological school in the UK. And I got there my degree and my master in pastoral studies.
And upon returning, so what year did you return to Italy?
So yes, I came back in that church where I attended since I was a teenager. I started as a kind of assistant minister. Then I became the full-time elder. So, you know, was a brethren context, so I was not a pastor. I was a full-time minister in that church. And in that moment, it was really an exciting time for the area. So in Bologna, which is my hometown, I grew up in Bologna. There were kind of four churches partnering together. And the pastors in that time were all similar age. all with good training. And in the time we thought to explore of teaching Portebrook, the Portebrook material in Italian was translated. And so we decided to partner together the four churches and to train men and other people in our churches. And that was a time in which I got exposed even more to the idea of church planting. You know, the Portebrook material was very geared towards that. And so I began to talk with my church and to explore about the idea of investing and planning a church plant. And then eventually God actually called Jenny and I to move out. And so we moved in Budrio, which is a big area on the outside of Bologna. So Bologna is fairly a big city in Italy. Budrio is in between of two cities in the northeast part of Italy. So it's an area where there are about 500,000 people living in small town and villages. And basically it's totally unreached. So when we started, there were only four Pentecostal churches in the whole area. And in Budrio was the biggest town in all this area. But like I said, totally unreached. I think you're muted, David.
Thank you. Thank you. Did you actually then move out? What year did you move out to Budrio?
So we moved there. We bought a house there, which was strategically done. We decided to invest in being in the community. And that was a time in which really God really talked with us about the idea of reaching out in this area. We realized actually, so we live in even a smaller village just next to Budrio, which is 3,000 people. It's called Mezzolara, which means Midland. And sometimes we joke about like it's in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And Budrio is about 20,000 people. So that is the size of the community. And in that time, maybe you remember, was a really big earthquake in the area. And the cities just after us, some of them were totally destroyed by the earthquake. And so in the time, Jenny, we volunteered collecting food and goods for people affected by the earthquake. And so one morning I was just packing boxes next to a man and I was talking about my desire for it to church plant in that area, to share the gospel with people in the community. And I didn't know who the man was. I was just having a nice conversation. And it was only towards the end, I realized he was the mayor of Budrio. And he actually got really excited about what I was explaining. And he said, how can I help you to plant a church in Budrio? I would like to have people like you serving in the community. And really the Lord used him greatly to help us really setting up the church, starting the whole process.
So what year was that?
So that would be 2012. And that we did kind of an overlap between my previous church where I was serving, moving to full-time church plant in Budrio. And the first service we did in Budrio was in 2014.
14?
Yeah. So we did kind of 2 years overlap.
Yep. That's pretty typical. And by God's providence, you meet the mayor. You say he was very helpful or enthusiastic about what you're doing. What practical ways has that what practical ways has he been helpful?
Well, basically, he started really to introduce me to all the key people in the community. And in time, we really established a very good relationship. So, for example, a key relationship we have is with the head of the social workers in Budrio. And so we start to ask how we could serve, really what were the opportunities and needs that were in the community. And basically we learned that one of the issues was there was a lot of things done for kids, but basically not much for teenagers. And so we also, myself, have been involved with Youth for Christ Italy. We started partnering together, doing programs in the high schools, where also Jenny and my wife started to teach English there. And then we started to do summer camps. And in that way, it was really strategic partnership. So we arrived to the stage a few years after in which our after school club became part of the after school projects of the town hall. So they gave us a free space every Friday afternoon. And the social workers also are sending kids from families they're following. And in that way, it gave us an incredible opportunity towards these families. We got to know many Muslims families, needy people. But through that, really, one family became a Christian, actually through the daughter first, and then both the father and mother. And it was a great Sunday when we were able to baptize that couple. And we baptized the daughter just this summer during COVID.
That's amazing. When we were talking, I want to say Stefano, and I'm just going to say it because my head's you made a statement that just struck me that was so helpful. You said shape church life around the community. Can you unpack that? You know, what did you mean when we were talking shape church life around the community?
Well, one key issue, really, I realized, coming from Bologna, big city, I realized our life was so frenetic that somehow we didn't have time for people of being in the community. So when we planned the church in Budrio, already moving in a rural area, a lot of farming community, so we understood we had to slow down and to really follow in the step of the culture. But then really we shaped the life of the church around the community. So, for example, we try intentionally once a month as a church to participate in an event in the community, to do one of our meetings in cafes or in pubs. So basically, because we don't have our own building, all our meetings, especially the midweek meetings, are spread around the community. So we use the library, cafes, pubs, the park in the summertime. Basically, everything is available. We use it. But also, we really made a key point to celebrate and to serve with our community. Mm. So being in a rural context, one of the big events in September is the Onion Festival, and that they do a big fair with a lot of food, music, a lot of things for kids. And so as a church, on that week, we make the most of serving there. So there are some family of the church just going there for a nice meal, on a big table, chatting with other people. Other ones are serving. So like myself, I volunteer for every evening to washing dishes, serving tables, collecting all the trash. And that is an incredible time to spend 4 or 5 hours with people washing dishes. And it's some of the most amazing gospel conversation in that context.
Wow. Now, did I hear that right? It's the Onion Festival?
Yeah, indeed. Lot okay. of onions. So you can have onion pasta, and then second course, even we have ice cream onion.
Ooh. Okay, let's talk about some of the other festivals, like the wine or beer festival.
Yeah. So in Budrio, there is a big beer festival. And again, that is in the summertime. In a similar way, we go there serving and partnering with the community. And often that was perceived in a different way from, the local Catholic church. So I realized after a while I was known as the priest married to an English lady who serves at the beer festival. So people were making jokes that the priest, the local priest, goes there drinking beer, but no one ever seen him serving there. Whereas, again, it's really important to be in that context. And often it's very humbling because I see people have been working the whole day. They finish at 6 o'clock in the evening. They just go home for a shower and then working and serving till midnight in those fairs. And sometimes I feel like, not many Christians will do that for their community. But like I said, that has been used many times for building up relationship, getting to know people and to be able to be part of the community. And something similar we did, there are a lot of books club in our town, I realized. So I joined a lot of Facebook groups and I found out about all these events. And through that, we got to know one of the key figures in our community is an old man, a retired teacher, and he's the typical storyteller of Budrio. He's able to turn the most boring book in very interesting and exciting by the way in which he reads. And so we went to a lot of his events. And then when a few years ago, we organized for the 500th anniversary of Calvin, we organized an event in the library in Budrio. So we asked him to come for that event. And then he started to read a lot of things. Because he came, a lot of people came to our event. And similarly, we did anniversary for a 5th anniversary. We did a big event in the community. And the mayor, a lot of people came. And he wrote a poem in Bologna's dialect about our church. And that has even been published in a local book. So, it's really important to be in the community and to celebrate with them in this way.
That's fabulous. So shaping your church around the community has opened doors for the gospel. You mentioned this one family where through the teenage ministry, the girl came to Christ first and her parents had come to Christ. How would you say how would you say the your church community, how do they perceive their presence in the community? Because I think one of the things I've learned from talking with you is that if the church sees itself, and I'm probably answering the question, but on its mission is to serve the community. I guess the question is, are there other doors that are open for the gospel?
Well, so yeah, definitely. And like I said, so somehow a few years ago, we experienced a different step in our church, because initially we started with a group of 7 people, all Christians, obviously, that was the core group. Whereas now, I would say the majority of our church members are young Christians coming from no previous church background. So for them, this is the culture, is the DNA of the church. And it's really exciting to see them serving in this way. So I remember also recently, so one of the lady we baptized this summer, the first time we met her was again through one of these events in the community. And that was a festival for all the associations in town. And they asked every association to do something characteristic explaining who they are. So we thought about it. We said, well, we're not very good in singing. We're not very talented in many ways. What can we do? So we thought, okay, a lot of people in our church are coming from different regions in Italy or different nations. So we have a Romanian lady, in the time we have some Americans. My wife is English. And so we thought, let's make traditional dishes from all our regions and nations. And we made a recipe book with all these recipes, a little stories connected with the recipe. And then we're giving the free book, Meals with Jesus from Tim Chester, really connecting with that topic. And so in that way, this lady was just moved in Budrio. She's from Sicily. She didn't know anyone. She arrived in our stand and she saw a traditional dish from Sicily. And that was the first thing attracted her. And then she started talking with the lady there from Sicily, you know, making all the connections. And the following Sunday, she was with us. And since then, she's always been part of the community.
That's fabulous. To see how the Holy Spirit can take something as simple as a recipe book and use it to build a bridge to someone. So your church has been around. You said you did your first public service in 2014. Do you envision planting another church?
That is what we love to. So we saw really the need on the one end, but also the way in which God already opened some doors around us, especially through the schools and the high schools. You know, we're already in a stage in which some schools are asking us to do some projects with them, and we have to say no, because there's not a follow-up immediately in place. And so we love to. We were thinking about that for a while, a couple from the US co-working with us. And the original plan was they will stay alongside with us and then move to church plant nearby. Somehow the Lord called them in different ways. So at the moment that is on hold, but you know, if someone listening to us is fans about coming to Italy in a rural context, we're ready.
How has Acts 29 helped you?
Well, say definitely in being exposed to this vision of church planting churches. And recently, you know, when we got to know the rural collective, when we were in Belgrade to the Acts 29 Europe conference, it was very important for Jenny and I. You know, often, being in Italy, evangelicals, we are so few, so it's easy to feel isolated there. Then being rural is even more. And so began to be exposed to this, and now recently attending to all the webinars, you know, listening to all the church planters experiencing basically the same situation dynamics in different parts of the globe has been really encouraging for us. And also through this, we built up a partnership with an Acts 29 rural church in North Dakota, in Jamestown, and Caleb Drahosh is a pastor there. So we start to meet once a month. We pray for each other. We confront ideas. And for me, it was very challenging to see really how similarities there were and similar struggles. Obviously, different size of churches, but really united with the same vision and same dynamics.
So isolated in Italy as an evangelical church planter is one step of isolation, but then being a rural church planter creates another level of isolation. I remember meeting you at that lunch in Belgrade, right?
That's yeah, indeed, indeed.
And I still haven't got your name correct. Oh, I should just
Sorry.
yeah. But that's so encouraging. Now, this so we're working as X29 to create strategic partnerships with like United States churches. And my goal is to connect rural US churches with non-US rural churches. And you mentioned Jamestown, North Dakota, and Caleb, right? And so what has that relate, and that's only been going on, the relationship's only several months old, correct?
Yep, indeed.
Yeah, so in that several months, is there one particular, or are there, what are the benefits you might share from that relationship?
Well, see, really, for me, it was really important to have someone, you know, to openly talk about and find, like I mentioned before, similar dynamics, same challenges, I would say, and also, you know, to really encourage each other to talk about how we're going, how we're doing, and especially with all the COVID issue, how to do things. So I got some ideas from Caleb, and then we talk about how to do things. And it's really just to have someone really passing through the same experience and to see how the Lord is working and encouraging really in the same ways.
Yeah. It's so good. Relationships don't have to be just local. And in your setting, it's hard to find a local evangelical church planter who's in a rural place.
Yeah.
In fact, how many Acts 29 churches are there in Italy?
Well, don't want to get it wrong. I think officially there are 9 at the moment. Yeah. There are some more applying.
Yeah.
And I know. For us, it was easier because they're all basically in the north. There's really not much in the south. So I have 2 or more Acts 29 church planters nearby in a kind of 45 minutes, 1 hour each.
Are any of those in rural context?
Not really, no. One is in Bologna, and one is in a bigger town, Imola, so I would say halfway, but it's not really rural, yeah.
Right. And by the way, we at the Rural Collective don't think that rural is more important or less important than other church planting settings, but it is just as important as what God is doing anywhere. So one of my joys has been to be able to see this growing fraternity of rural guys. We love our urban church planting brothers, our suburban church planting brothers, but there's a camaraderie in the small, obscure settings, and that's so encouraging to hear. Anything else that you have been learning from the Lord in this season of, well, in this journey of planting in Budrio?
I remember something that was very important for me to hear the first time. Again, it was in an Acts 29 conference, and listening to Steve Timmis talking about how our churches are reflecting the community we are serving in. How we're reaching out to all the generations, all the cultural settings. And that struck me. And so from that moment, I really tried thinking, okay, we want to be a church that reach out to everyone in our community. And so through that, also, the Lord was really useful because in that time, both my parents were unwell. My father was seriously ill and my mother was beginning to have some dementia. And so we got to help them. We moved them, actually, to live with us. So they were the first couple coming alongside us in that time when we planted the church. But then we got involved with the programs for elderly in the town and we realized basically no churches in Italy were doing really a work in that way. So we began to serve the elderly in this way. And then we had a family, a Christian family moving in the church, and he's in the army in Budrio. And then we realized that is another group, totally unreached. No one is doing something with soldiers. And so again, we thought about ways of serving. And so I thought having an English wife to import the idea of Boxing Day from the UK, because in England it's a big tradition to celebrate Boxing Day by thanking those who serve the community, especially in the Christmas period, but generally. So we decided to make a similar way, buying a big box of chocolate, writing a thank you letter card with a Bible talk and an invite for our services. And then we give to the army barracks, we give to the police, to the emergency room in the hospital in Budrio, you know, to the police giving tickets to people when they're speeding. And they said, you are the very first one came to say thanks. Because a lot of people say thanks to the fireman. No one say thanks to the policeman and giving fine. And so that was a great opportunity. And since then, every year, the captain in the police station is always expecting us to come. And they really, again, it's a new door, and a total group was totally enraged.
That's awesome to hear. Well, my brother, by the way, if you're watching this live and you have a question you want to post in the chat box, we have a little time left to, if you have a question for Stefano. Oh, that's not Stefano.
That's fine, David. Don't worry.
I know. Hey, we've got Nate Downey. I'm so grateful to hear Stefano's story and continue to connect with other rural church planters. Thank you. So there's just a thank you from Nate. Well, Nate serving in Eureka, California, I think, which is another small town. Or Eugene. No, it's Eureka, I believe. But Nate, good to have you listening in. Yeah, certainly appreciate your faithfulness, brother, and your willingness to share this time. And I think as we continue having these discussions, it's amazing. First of all, we learn from each other. The way, again, I'm still struck personally by the shape your church life around the community, and then looking for God, ways for God to open those doors. And I like your story of Boxing Day. And by the way, for those of you who don't know what Boxing Day is, it has nothing to do with jabs and uppercuts. It has to do with delivering boxes of goods to the people who served on Christmas Day. I think that's the history.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, listen, this has been great. And do you mind if anybody has questions for you to reach out to you?
Oh, definitely. I see there is Sarah. No?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you see Sarah. It says, yeah, you can read it there from the Edwards family in Ireland. You and Jenny are such an encouragement to us. We can listen to your wisdom all day long. Well, I guess we could stretch this one out.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, we're really missing the Eduardas. We really love them. And yes, they were really blessing in Italy, but I know now they're a blessing in Ireland.
Well, I tell my church, because sometimes you have people, why are we involved with this global church planning network? And I remind them there's two things. One, this is the family, for me, it's the family that has helped keep me theologically sharp and missionally driven, so that we just weren't just about planting a church here, but about those many unreached communities. And around you, you talk about, the villages that have no gospel witness. And, you know, my friend Stephen Whitmer mentioned, he's written the book, A Big Gospel for Small Places. And he says, you know, we need to have a 100-year plan, a plan that goes beyond our own lives. And I remind our people as well, I said, wherever you go in the world, I can almost guarantee you, I can plug you into a Christian family. I can find you a Christian family. And recently I was asked to help with a elder examination of elders at a nearby church plant. And one of the guys had spent, he was a US military, had spent 7 years in Italy and attended in Acts 29 church in Italy. And that really formed him in a missional mindset. So thanks, Zach Mason, for your encouragement. And Eureka, there we go. Northwest corner of California. I thought I had it right, Nate. Well, listen, thanks for joining us today. Stefano, any last words?
Well, I would say really, even from our church, so often when we receive the yearly Acts 29 report, I always share with the church, it's so encouraging for us. You know, being a small 25 people church in the remote Budrio, but to see the Lord work globally and to get to know people from all the world is really encouraging for us. And we feel part of the big family of the Lord.
And your church is even now encouraging other rural planters to continue to think, how can we serve our community? So thank you, my brother. And someday I hope to get to Budrio. We'll see.
Definitely, you have to.
Okay. God bless and have a great, great evening. Yeah.
And you do it. Thanks, everyone.